Now we're holding on Tzaddik Beis Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, even though the Choyvel is paying the Nechbal for everything that he for the Nezek and the Tsar and everything else that we described in this Perek, Hashem still doesn't forgive him until he asks the other guy to forgive him. Because after all, there was tsar involved, leaving aside, in other words, there's the technical definition of tsar, where he said he pays him for that, as we learned earlier in the parak, but there's also the mental tsar involved, where he hasn't really paid him for that, and therefore he needs to ask him mechila. Shenemar, as we find by Avraham and Avimelech, where Hashem tells Avimelech, Ba'ata hoshev eshes v'gomer, now return the man's wife, where he had kidnapped Sarah. And he tells him, the spalo badcho bachyeh, and he will daven on your behalf and you'll live, which implies, in other words, that Hashem is telling Avimelech, you have to ask Avraham to daven on your behalf, and then he'll do so. Now, how do we know that if the Nechbal does not forgive him, then he's cruel for doing so? Shenema, because the pasuk continues, right? Yispal Avraham el Elikim, Avraham davened to Hashem, by Yupra Elikim es Avimelech v'gomer, and Hashem healed Avimelech and his whole family. The point is, in other words, that Avraham, being the Midas HaChesed, does that. It's not like we don't actually find, it doesn't say that Hashem actually told Avraham to daven for Avimelech. So we see, in other words, that so we see that therefore he should be moichel right away. So as soon as Avimelech went and apologized to Avraham, then immediately Avraham forgave him and davened to Hashem. There is, in fact, there's actually a sicha in Chelek Chof Ches where the Rebbe analyzes this whole matter in detail, because you have another place in Torah from which you learn this concept of lo yehi achzori milimcho. You have Moshe by these when the Yidden are complaining about the man and Hashem sent the snakes, and by Yispala Moshe al Hashem ba'adam, and the Rebbe analyzes in great detail over there the points of how of the nuances, the differences between there and here. Where the idea is that from there we learn that there shouldn't even be a trace of kapeda against the other guy, whereas here with Avraham and Avimelech, we don't learn that. And then he talks about, you have three places where the Rambam brings this din, and you have three different details within that. You have as part of, it needs to be part of, here we're focusing on the kapara for the choyvel, requires that he should ask mechila. There's also the point that his tshuva requires that, and there's also the point that the nechbal himself, as a matter of midas tovus, should be the one, should be forgiven. Anyway, the mission continues. Ha'omer sameas eini. If Reuven says to Shimon, blind my eye, uktas yodi, chop off my hand, or shaber esragli, or break my leg, and the other guy does that, chayev, then the other guy is still chayev to pay all the payments. Almanas lifter, and even if Reuven tells him, do it, almanas, that you're going to be potter, nevertheless, chayev, Shimon is still chayev if he does any of those things, as we'll work out in the Gemara tomorrow on Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph Bes Hashem, why that is. On the other hand, if Reuven says, if Reuven says to Shimon, rip my clothing, or shaber kadi, break my jug, chayev, again, if he doesn't say that it's Amanas Lifter, then Shimon is going to be Chayev, even though Reuven gave him permission. Amanas Lifter, but if he tells him, Almanas, on condition that you will be Potter, then Shimon is Potter. So there's a difference between his goof and his momen, as we'll work out in the Gemara why that is. On the other hand, if Reuven says, I say came Ish Ploini, Almanas Lifter, but if Reuven says to Shimon, you do this to Ploini, you, whether it is you break Ploini's leg, or whether it is you rip Ploini's clothing, and Amanas Lifter, and on condition that you'll be Potter, Chayev, then he's actually still Chayev, Ben Begufoy, Ben Mamonoi, whether we're talking about the other guy's guf or his momen. There is machlokas haposkim, what happens if Reuven says, what happens if Shimon says to Reuven, okay, I'll do that, but you're going to have to pay. Will Reuven in fact have to pay, or will Shimon still be required to pay because of the consideration of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveda? There's a discussion among Achronim of that point. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Tanan Rabbanan, Kol Elu She'omru, everything that we said so far in this parak, as far as what he has to pay, or particularly the previous Mishnah, Dmei Boishtoi. That's the value of his boishas. So when we said in the previous Mishnah that if he's tekeya lachaveda, if he blows or boxes the guy's ear or whatever, we said tekeya lachaveda meant the various possibilities that he pays him a sella, or according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, a mona, and if he slaps him in the face, he pays him 100 zuz, and so on and so forth. All of that is only the value of his boishas. Avot tsarei, but the actual tsar, the mental sour that the guy underwent, afilu maybe called eli nevoyus shaba olam, even if the choyvel were to bring as korbanus all the eli nevoyus in the world. Eli means rams, nevoyus is the name of the oldest son of Yishmael, and from him came a nation also called a sub-nation of the Arabs, also called nevoyus. And we find in various places in Pesukim where very high quality rams came from that part of the world, from their territory. So Eli Nevoyus is you. You find the Navi Yeshaya referring to them, for example. They're very high quality animals. So even if a person brings all the high quality animals as korbanos in the world, Hashem still won't forgive him ad sheyivakash mimenu, until he asks the other guy mechila. Shenemar, again, as we said in the pasuk, Hashem says to Avimelech, Hoshev Eshes Eshki Novi Hu, return the man's wife because he's a Novi, V'yispawa Badcha, and he will daven on your behalf. So we see that Hashem is stressing to Avimelech, you had better ask him mechila. It's not enough that you just pay back what you did wrong, but you actually have to ask him mechila, because Hashem is saying V'yispawa Badcha, you have to convince him to daven on your behalf. Well, the Gemara asks, by the way, a side point in that pasuk, you're saying return the man's wife, ki novi hu. And what is that? De eshes novi bo yaduri, eshes achal bo yaduri. What is it? Avimelech has to return her only because her husband is a novi, and if her husband wasn't a novi, then Avimelech wouldn't have to. Why is Hashem bothering to mention the pasuk, the words, ki novi hu? Now, in the pasuk, Rashi explains that the vort is Hashem is saying to Avimelech, you return her, and then if you're going to say, yeah, but Avraham's going to think that I was metame her, and then he's not going to want to take her back, don't worry, ki novi hu, he knows the truth that you didn't touch her. However, here the Gemara is taking it in a different way. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, Hashem is saying, Hoshev Eshes Eish Mikol Mokim. You have to return her no matter what, because you did a serious aveda. You kidnapped her and you harmed her and her husband. Mikol Mokim. So regardless, Udeka Amret Agoy Gam Tzadik Tarig. Now you're asking earlier in the pesukim there in the story, you're asking Hayitochen that you're going to kill even an innocent nation, as Rashi says on the pasuk over there. I didn't do anything wrong, Avimelech is claiming, and you're punishing me just like you punished the people of Sodom. Hashem says no, and he continues. Haloi hu omer li achosi hi vihi gam hi omra ochi hu. And Avimelech, you're saying that that after all he said she's my sister, she also said he's my brother, so I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't know better. No, Hashem tells him, Novihu, the reason Avraham said that is because he's a Novi, Okvar Limid, and he's already taught people, he's been teaching people. There's different gersoris over here, whether the word is Lomad, he learned what the right way to do things, or limit, he taught people the right way to do things. Anyway, when a guest comes to town, what should people be asking him first? So should people first be asking him, do you have what to eat and drink? Or is the first thing that people should ask, is this your wife or your sister? So in other words, Avraham has been teaching his whole life the way to act towards guests. And when Avraham saw that you're asking first, who is this woman? He put two and two together and realized, ki novi hu, that you're going to harm him if he claims that she's his wife, and therefore he claimed that he's a sister. So don't think Hashem is saying to Avimelech that you did nothing wrong. You didn't do. Once he said you're his sister, she's a sister. Fine, you could argue that you didn't know better, but you should have known better in the first place to ask the right thing rather than to ask this immoral kind of question. And when Hashem says, therefore, ki novi hu, there's a few different explanations in Mefoshim what the point of that is. One is that it means, in other words, that So one is, in other words, that Avraham realizes that you intend to harm him with nevuah. Another point is, it means he's a chacham. He can put two and two together. And a third possibility, the Tertus Chaim points out, the word navi also means a spokesman, literally a navi, like you have the Aaron Chichayir Neviecha. So therefore, it means Avraham has been a spokesman his whole life. He's been announcing this concept of how you should treat guests. And now he sees you don't behave that way. And therefore, he realized there's a danger of you. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. So Mikan Ben Noach shall Nerag. From this, we can learn in a case where Ben Noach has violated one of his mitzvahs, he can be executed for it. There's no such thing as saying it was a shogig shahoyle lumad v'lo lamad, because he should have learned the right way to behave and he didn't. In other words, you know, you have the expression in English: ignorance of the law is no excuse. So when it comes to our mitzvahs, when it comes to the mitzvahs of Jews, there's a difference between shogeg. You can have a case where a person never learned, would never learn that this is a mitzvah, or never learned this particular detail or whatever, and it's considered a shogeg. By Ben Noach, we're saying there's no such thing. There is, by the way, the Rambam points out, there is a concept of shogeg by Ben Noach where he didn't know that this particular object was osur. So if you have, for example, let's say he has relations with an Eishes Ish and he doesn't realize that she was, then fine, then you can call that a shogeg. But if he doesn't know that an Eishes Ish is osur, or in this case, they don't know what the proper way is to talk to guests, then you can't call that. You can't say, yeah, but I was a shogeg, because Hashem is saying to Avimelech, you should have known better. But that's why Hashem is telling him, Navi Hu, to stress that point. Okay. Let's talk more about what happened in that story with Avimelech and Avraham and Sarah. The Pasuk says that Avraham davened to and also, by the way, when we're learning in the Mishnah that we see from the story that you have to also ask Mechila, because we see the Ravid points out, we see that Avimelech gave Avraham a huge amount of money and silver and gold and animals and so on and so forth, and nevertheless he still wasn't healed until Avraham davened on his behalf. And why did Avraham daven? Only because Avimelech had to ask him Mechila. Okay, so the Pasuk says, why did Avraham, what was wrong? What did Avimelech, what were Avimelech and his family suffering from that Avraham had to daven for them? The Pasuk says, ki otzer Hashem. Hashem stopping had stopped up. So what does that mean? Bad kol rechem, the Pasuk continues. Every rechem in the house of Avimelech. Now, the simple meaning of rechem is a womb. However, Rashi points out on the Pasuk, and the Gemara is also understanding over here, that the word rechem can also be used generically to mean an opening in the body from which something should come out. So Omer Rabbi Elazar, Shtei Atziras Halalu, why is the Pasuk saying Otzer, Otzer, Loma? Why does it say both of them? Achas be'ish, it means there was one thing that was stopped up in the men, namely Shechvas Zera, that they can't produce Shechvas Zera anymore. Shtayim be'ish, Shechvas Zera v'leida. Then you have two by a woman. Number one, there's also Shechvas Zera. A woman has had relations with a man. Afterwards, some Shechvas Zera may leak out. Normally, you have a little of it, and normally you have either it gets fertilized or it leaks out and leaves her body. In this case, none of it was able to leak. That's what the Gemara is going to continue discussing. Different opinions, yeah. So one in a man, he's understanding. In other words, basically, because if we're saying rechem, after all, the ba'ad kol rechem means every kind of rechem. And since the pasuk says vayeledu, they gave birth, therefore the Rebbe Elazar is understanding that by the men and by the women, we're talking about something that has to do with giving birth. So he's not understanding it as having to go to the bathroom, because that has nothing to do with the birth process. Rather, he's understanding by the men, Hashem prevented them any shichvas zera from coming out as long as all this was going on. And also, of course, it would prevent Avimelech from doing anything with Sarah. Yeah,
it was only for a few hours.
Okay, but it was long enough for it to be a tzar for them that they had to. Yeah, and so by the men you have that one, and by the women, shtayim be'isha shichvas zera v'leida. Number one, that the shichvas zera that's in her that needs to come out will not, and number two, that anyone who's pregnant cannot give birth. B'masnisset, that was Rebbe Elazar. B'masnisset on a shtayim be'ish. In a braisa, we learn that there were two that were in the men that were stopped up, shechvas zera uktanim, not only shechvas zera, but also urine, which comes from the same place after all, shlosh be'ish, shechvas zera uktanim b'leida, and three by the women. Ravina amas shalosh be'ish, shechvas zera uktanim upi tabas. Ravina adds, there was also the acharayim where tzoya comes out of, that was also stopped up, so they couldn't go to the bathroom at all. And also the pitabas, also that part of the body by the women. So therefore, all together, in other words, so that's the one that we're familiar with. If they couldn't go to the bathroom at all, is based on what Ravina is saying over here, that everything was stocked up in that area of the body, both tanim and dolim, plus also shechvazera, and for the women also giving birth. So the women are being, but it's not so much they're being punished more. It's just the fact that women have something that the men don't. The choice was really, that's a different explanation over here when we say shechvas zera by a woman. So again, Rashi is talking about perletas shechvas zera, the fact that it should be able to leak out and exit her body when it's not needed. Choice was really, it gives a different explanation. We know there's a concept of ish mazriyat chila and ish mazras chila. A woman produces a zera as well. So we're saying that was also stocked up and they weren't able to do that. The pasuk continues, ba'ad kol rechem, that Hashem had stocked up every womb. Ba'ad, Rashi explains there and in other places, means literally in front of. So it means like as if Hashem had put a blockage in front of the opening and nothing would come out. So what's kol rechem? Amit be Rabbi Yanai, they said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, afilo tanu goylos shabbos Avimelech lo hitila beit sasa. Even the chickens in Avimelech's household weren't laying eggs during this whole, while this whole thing was going on, even though a chicken normally lays an egg every day. So now Rava asked Rabba Bar Mori, and we find here and in other places in the Gemara where Rabba Bar Mori was a great expert in Agadta, and in particular in finding things in Psukim, that in finding he was a great expert in Psukim and in the Droshas of the Psukim. So Rava asked him, from where do the Chachamim get the concept that says that if a person davens for Rachmim, for Hashem, from Hashem, on behalf of somebody else, when he himself needs the same thing? So for example, Reuven is not having children. Shimon davens on his behalf that he should have. Shimon himself, meanwhile, needs children as well. And Hashem answers him and even answers him first. Where do we see that? Where do we see a concept like that in the pasuk? So he answers Dichtib, because you have the pasuk at the end of Sefer Iyov. So you have Sefer Iyov. You have Iyov have lost his children and his possessions and everything. And then at the end, then his friends come to talk with him, and they have the whole discussion that makes up the whole Sefer Iyov. Afterwards, Hashem says to the friends that I'm upset with you. You didn't speak to me the right way, the way Iyov did, because the Gemara discusses Iyov himself was speaking sometimes disrespectfully to Hashem, but it was out of tsar, so it's not held against him. But there are places where in their things where they're accusing Eo of being a Rasha, and that's wrong. They're saying you deserve your punishment, and that's a wrong thing to do. So Hashem is saying afterwards that you need a kapara for that, and you need to ask Eo Mechila. The pasuk says, "Vashem shavus shvus Iyov beispalloi ba'adre ehu." Hashem restored the fortunes of Iyov when he davened for his friends. And the point is, in other words, we're saying shav implies that he had already returned it before he returned it to them. So in other words, they're coming to Iyov to ask him to be moichel them and to daven on their behalf to Hashem. And they deserve Yisurim themselves. So we're saying that he was answered first, and Hashem restored his fortunes first, and only then did Hashem take away their punishment. So that's why this is coming in the Gemara over here. Because that was what Rabba Bar Mori brought an example. So Rabba says, "At Amit Mehosem, you're bringing from there." I can find a pasuk in Chumash that expresses the same idea. The pasuk says, "Vayispal Avraham el Elakim." Avraham davened to Hashem. "Vayyupur Elakim as Avimelech ves Ishtei v'Amhos v'Gomer." Hashem healed Avimelech and his wife and his maidservants from all of this blockage that we said before. And Uchtiv, and then right, and then shortly after that, it says, "Vashem pokad as Sarah." Hashem had remembered Sarah. Which means, in other words, so Rashi explains, Vayifko de Sarah would imply that now Hashem remembered Sarah and she became pregnant. Poka de Sarah implies that Hashem had already remembered her before, when Avraham is davening for Avimelech, first Hashem remembered Sarah and made that she's going to become pregnant, and only afterwards did Hashem heal Avimelech and company. Now, on the other, so that's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out, it can't mean about who becoming pregnant, actually. The fact is, the Malachim had come long before that and told Sarah that she's going to be pregnant. It means, in other words, that, like this, Avraham is davening for Avimelech and company that they should be able to give birth and to be able to, everything should be able to come out normally, the same way Hashem arranged that for Yitzchak also, she should be able to bear him easily, she should be able to bear him easily, even before Hashem, even before Hashem answered that Avimelech and his family should be able to do that as well. So we see from that, says Rava, that yeah, you see the Hamaspala Chaberu Tzorach Lo Yisadavu Nen Chila. There's a vote on it from a Simcha Bonim of Pshischa that says, from the Choizim Lublin, I think, I don't remember, that says that Tzorech Loise Dover also means when the person is davening on behalf of the other person, even though it would actually be in a way in his better interest not to, Tzorech Loise Dover, he actually needs that the other person should still be suffering from this problem. What happens? Because you have later on, you have the Leitzani Adur, you had all the people who are claiming that Sarah became pregnant from Avimelech, and Hashem had to take steps to show that it's not so. Had Avimelech and company remained with these difficulties of theirs, nobody would ever think such a thing because everybody can see that Avimelech and company can't do anything. But instead, Avraham overrode that and said, it's true, it would be better in my interests for Avimelech and company to stay blocked up in order to avoid that problem. Nevertheless, I'm not going to do that. And therefore, in the schos of that, Avraham and Sarah were answered first. And the pasuk continues. So Ksiv Hashem pocket of Sarah Kasher Omar Vagam Kasher Omar Avraham El Avimelech. The words Kasher Omar doesn't mean, in other words, as Hashem had spoken to Avraham. It means when Avraham spoke to Avimelech, or just as Avraham had spoken to Avimelech. So when Avraham spoke to Avimelech, that is when Hashem pocket of Sarah, and then after that did Hashem deal with Avimelech. So we see, in other words, that Hamaspal Lachaberu who Nanatchila, that Avraham was actually answered first. Marashar discusses this in some detail about, first of all, about what Tosfos is saying about the chronology of events. There are other midrashim about the sequence of events when the Malachim came and told Sarah and when Sarah became pregnant and when she gave birth and so forth. So you do have that, and also that the Gemara is not necessarily learning it from the Gemara dealing with the smichus of the psukim. Is it because it says one and then right away it says the other, or is it because of the loshen in the psukim because it says because of the words kasha omar? So you have that point. There's the different ways of exactly how the Gemara is learning this drasha. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to digress to a whole bunch of other things that Rava asked Rabbi Bar Mori, where's a source for something in a pasuk? And Rabbi Bar Mori is going to give him an answer. And sometimes Rava is going to say, actually, I have a better pasuk for that. So here's another one. Omale Rava le Rabbi Bar Mori, Menoha Milsi da Amri Inchi, Bahadi Hutsa Loki Karba. Where do we have a source in a pasuk for the popular expression, together with the weeds, the cabbage sometimes gets damaged? So Rashi describes, imagine you have a field of cabbages and you have thorns growing near some of them. You want to pull out the thorns. Sometimes accidentally you pull out a cabbage together with them. So the cabbage gets damaged, even though your intention was only to get the thorns. Where do we have a pasuk that expresses that idea? In other words, the symbolizing that sometimes you have a person is near a Rasha and the Rasha gets punished and the tzaddik gets punished along with him. So Rabbi Bar Mori says, Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hashem says, Lama sarivu elai, why are you Jewish people arguing and fighting with me? Kulchem peshartem bi, no Hashem. All of you have acted, all of you have rebelled against me, says Hashem. So Rashi says that implies the Navi himself. Now the Navi didn't rebel against Hashem, but Hashem is saying Kulchem in the generic sense. Maharsha says, no, I mean, this is the Navi himself speaking in Hashem's name. So why would he include himself in Kulchem? Then he would say Kulonu or something. No, what it means is that Yirmiyah is saying generically about the whole Jewish people, Kulchem, even though among them there were Tzaddikim as well. So therefore we see this expression. Again, Omale, so Rava says, At Amet Mehosam, you're bringing from that Pasuk in Nevi'im, V'ana Mina Mehocha, I can bring you actually a Pasuk from Chumash, where Hashem says to Moshe, after you had in last week's parasha, people go out to collect mon on Shabbos, Hashem says to Moshe, Ad Onameh Antem, Lishma Mitzvoyseh V'Seroyseh, how long are you plural going to be refusing to keep my mitzvahs and my Torah? So again, it means that Hashem is including Moshe with it.
Well,
that's the point, though. So Rashi says, though, Hashem is saying that me'am tem, you plural, which includes he's speaking to Moshe and saying all of you are disobeying me. And again, Marashah says that it may not mean Moshe, fine, but it does mean that the fact is Hashem is saying all of you, meaning more than just the two people, Dasan and Aviram. So we see that sometimes the tzaddikim get it together with the Rishonim. And another one, Omalei Rava L'Rabba Bamari. Here's one, not a source for something in a pasuk, but rather to explain me a pasuk, Rava wants. So, the pasuk says, when Yosef is going, after the family comes to Mitzrayim, Yosef takes some of his brothers and five of his brothers, and he had them stand in front of Pare for an audience. So, Maninu Chamisha, who are these five brothers that Yosef picked? Amalei, so Rabbi Bamari answers him, Hachi, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Oisen Shehuch B'lu B'Shemes. They are the ones whose names are repeated in Parashas V'Zos HaBracha. They are the weaker ones. You don't want, in other words, Moshe is repeating their names in order to give them extra strength, because otherwise they were weaker. The point being, in other words, like Rashi explains on the Pasuk over there, Yosef, and over here also, Yosef did not want to take the stronger ones to meet Pare, because then Pare might make him generals in his army or other kinds of things like that, and he doesn't want. He wants they should be able to stay quietly in Goshen as shepherds. So therefore, he Davka picked the weaker ones. So and they are the ones. How do we know which ones are the weaker? The ones who generations later Moshe repeated their names in the brachas. So for example, by Don you have Don Amar Don Gur Aryeh. By Zvulun, the Zvulun Amar Smach Zvulun B'Teisecha, and you have a few, and you have the other ones as well. So the question is, Yehuda Nami Ichpuli Michbal. Yeah, but Yehuda's name is also repeated in Vezos HaBracha. Vezos the Yehuda, Vayema Shema Hashem Kel Yehuda. Yehuda is not one of the weaker brothers, he's the strongest of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not just because he's the king. He was physically, we're not talking about which ones are have stronger things among the Jewish people. We're talking about the ones that are physically stronger themselves. Yehuda was physically strong. You see that he stood up against Yehuda, against Yosef earlier when he was threatening to destroy the whole Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Bamori explains the milsehu de ichbal. The reason that Yehuda's name was repeated is not because he was weak, but because there was a special reason that Moshe had to daven on his behalf. The pasuk says right before that, Moshe says, "Let Reuven live and let him not die." Vehi misav misper. Let his people misav is a more poetic word for men. Misper should become a number. Should, in other words, Rashi explains on the pasuk they should be counted among all the other shvatim. In other words, that Hashem shouldn't hold them against him what he did with Bila. But they should become a large number. Anyway, the point is, Hashem is so Moshe is having to daven on behalf of Reuven, and then he continues, "Vizois the Yehuda, and this for Yehuda." So what do you mean, "and this for Yehuda"? It means like this. And the question is also, why are the brachas for Reuven and Yehuda coming in a row? Shimon, fine. Rashi says on the Pesukim over there, he didn't want to give a special bracha to Shimon because what happened in Shittim with Zimri and Cosby. But the next one after Reuven should be Levi then. So why is Levi's bracha not in between? And why is Yehuda's introduced with Vezois the Yehuda? So it's like this. Kol Oisin Aboim Shana Shoy Yisrael Bamidbar, throughout all the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, Yehuda's bones were rolling around in the coffin. Rashi points out over here, it wasn't just Yosef's bones that they took out of Mitzrayim. The Pasuk highlights that to show how much everybody else is busy getting the gold and silver from Mitzrayim, and Moshe is busy with the mitzvah of taking Yosef's bones out. But the fact is, each of the other Shvatim took out their ancestor as well, and they're being carried through all the years in the desert. But all the 40 years, Yehuda's bones are disarticulated, and they're rolling around in the coffin. Because Rashi says, because Rashi brings from the Medrash, because what happened was when they were discussing whether to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, so Yehuda had taken responsibility for him. Anochi Avenu Miyadi Tarakshenu, and if he says, "If I don't bring him back intact," and even though he did bring him back alive and well, nevertheless, a kilas chacham comes true, even if it's al tnai. So the result of that was that now he's in Nidui, even after he passed away, and therefore his bones are rolling around over there and he can't find any peace. Until Moshe came now and davened for Rachmim on his behalf. Who is it that caused that Reuven should publicly admit what he had done wrong? Yehuda. Because after the whole thing with Tomer, when Yehuda gets up and says, Tzod kamimeni, then Reuven got up and said, I also did something wrong. I moved my father's bed, which I wasn't supposed to.
He was doing tshuva all the years,
Tosfos points out. But this is the first time that he admitted it publicly. Up until then, he was doing tshuva in private. Now, for the first time, he admitted it publicly because of Yehuda's example.
An expression that says that he did publicly?
That he should admit it, which means in public, Tosfos says. How could it be that Yehuda is going to be suffering such a punishment when, because of him, you have the tremendous thing that Reuven did, a complete tshuva? He's davening. So that's the vizois for Yehuda. In other words, he's saying, is this right that it should be this way for Yehuda? So right away, as he continues, Shema Hashem kill Yehuda. So he davens, Hashem listen to the voice of Yehuda. Now the pasuk goes like this: Shema v'zois Yehuda v'ayoma. This is for Yehuda, and he said, Shema Hashem kill Yehuda. Hashem listen to the voice of Yehuda. Ve'al amoy tivianu, and bring him to his people. Yodav rov loy, may his hands be strong on his behalf. May they be able to fight on his behalf. Ve'ezem itzorav tia, and you, Hashem, should be his help against his opponents. So now the Gemara is going to douch in this pasuk phrase by phrase. So Zois the Yehuda was saying that Moshe is saying why should Reuven be Nimchal because of Yehuda, because Yehuda helped him do complete tshuva. So it's only right that Yehuda himself should benefit from that. So therefore, so Shema Hashem kill Yehuda. And when Moshe said that, all of the bones of Yehuda returned to their appropriate places, their appropriate sockets. So now his skeleton is back together. Loy have a masculine sivta derekia. However, Yehuda still wasn't being admitted into the yeshiva shalmaila because, after all, he's still a nidu. So Moshe continues the el amay tivianu. So therefore Moshe continues with the bracha and bring him to his people. Who are Yehuda's people? The fellow Jews, the neshamas, who are in the mesivta derekia. So therefore, so bring him in there and let him be in there learning Torah together with him. So now still Yehuda's neshama there still is not able to understand what the Chachamim are discussing over there in the Yeshiva Shamayla, and to be able to engage in the Shakla Vatalia together with the Chachamim. So Moshe continues with the bracha, Yodav Rav Loi, may his hands be able to fight on his behalf. In other words, he should have the ability to fight and to be able to get involved in that battle of Torah. Then Loi have a solikle shmeitzal libid hilchasa. He still wasn't able to come up with a conclusion that would be valid api alocha. That requires special siyata d'shmaya to be able to come up with the correct conclusion. So therefore, Moshe finishes off the ezem itzarav tia Hashem. You should be his help against his opponents, meaning that Hashem should enable Yehuda to be able to have that special siyata d'shmaya to be able to not only get involved in the discussion, but to come up with a correct conclusion api Torah. So therefore, so all of that was needed because of this. So that's why Moshe repeated Yehuda's name. This is for Yehuda, meaning Moshe is saying it's only right that Yehuda should be helped because of what he did by helping Reuven do tshuva, and therefore Shema Hashem kill Yehuda, but his name is not being repeated because he was weak, but because of a different reason, as opposed to the other names in Parashas Vezois HaBracha that are being repeated is because they were physically weak, and therefore generations earlier is why Yosef had brought them in front of Parai. Tosfos mentions over here, and Rashi also mentions it on the Pasuk, that in the Medrash Rabbah on this Pasuk, on the Pasuk in Vayigash, it has it the other way around. The ones whose names are repeated are the strong ones, and therefore then there's no question from Yehuda, and rather the ones whose names are not repeated are the weaker ones, and they're the ones who Yosef brought to Paran. Rashi mentions both possibilities on the Pasuk. First he brings from the Medrash Rabbah, and he says this is a Medrash of Eretz Yisrael, You should know in the Gemara Bavli Shalonu, it says the other way around, and the Sifri says similar to the Gemara Bavli. The Sikha actually in Chelek Tesavov, where the Rebbe analyzes this whole point, this whole Rashi in detail, and why does it actually have to mention Gemara Bavli Shalonu, and what's the idea behind the different perspectives. One thing that Rebbe points out, we know in general the Yerushalmi style of learning was very brief. The Bavli style of learning was much more expansive and going into much greater detail. So that would explain why the Bavli over here takes the view that it's Davka, the ones whose names were Moshe repeated. He repeated that in order to demonstrate that they're the weaker ones. We have to repeat their names in order to give them more koyach, and therefore the Gemara takes the view that those are the ones who were the weaker ones, as opposed to the Yerushalmi and the Yerushalmi style of learning, which includes the Medrash Rabbah, which was composed in Eretz Yisrael. That takes the view the other way around, that you keep things brief, and there's no need to repeat something only in order to stress it. So that would be fakir, that he's repeating in order to stress that they're the stronger ones.
All the year that he was, his body is no longer shaking, Yaakov couldn't daven
for him. Moshe, you mean couldn't daven for him? It's a good question.
No, I mean,
this happened after Yaakov passed away. Yehuda passed away decades after Yaakov.
Right, but it happened because of what
He had said to Yaakov, right. Okay, it's not a matter of forgiving, though. The point is, kill us chochem afil al tanai hiba. When a chochem, such as Yehuda, says a klola, even if it was on condition, it has to come true somehow. So it's not a matter of that Yaakov should be moichel, and it's a matter of that the fact is he had said on himself, and therefore something had to be done about that. So getting back to the ones where Rava is going to ask Rava Bar Mori, where is the source in a pasuk for a certain expression? So here's another one. Amalei Rava le Rava Bar Mori, Menahem Milsi de Amri Inchi. Where's the source for the idea that the popular expression that people say? And you have popular expressions like that, as we see from this Gemara and other Gemaras, there's a place for them in Torah. Many times these popular expressions express truth api Torah. We actually had, there was a sicha we were learning here last night where the Rebbe quoted, for example, you have a popular expression, the question was how Yisra is coming up with the idea to appoint judges, how did Moshe not think of it himself? So the Rebbe mentions over there, you know, you have the popular expression, a guest for a mile, that a guest for a while can see something a mile away, he has a different perspective, so it doesn't work over here, and the Rebbe goes into a whole explanation why Yisra had to give the advice and why Moshe didn't do it until now. But anyway, the point is there is a certain validity, api Torah, to popular expressions. There's a whole sicha with it. The Rebbe explains the idea behind it. Moshe knew that the Jewish people are capable of being on a higher level. Yisro is looking at them from his level, etc. So Menahem Milsi de Amri Inchi, Boser Anya Azla Ani Yusa. There's a popular expression that goes, poverty follows the poor person. In English, you have an expression, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So where do you have a source for that in Torah? Omalei, so Rabbi Bar Mori tells him, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bikurim, when it describes how people would bring the Bikurim. Ashirim Nevi'im Bikurim B'kalosis Shal Zav B'shal Kesef, rich people would bring their Bikurim in baskets of gold or silver. The poor people would be bringing their bikurim in baskets made of woven arava branch, of peeled arava branches. And they would give the baskets and the bikurim to the kohenim. So we see, in other words, the rich people can keep their baskets of gold and silver, but the poor person, not only he gives his fruit to the kohen, he has to give the basket as well. So therefore, so that shows, in other words, like poverty follows the poor. The guy is poor enough, and he has to give away the basket as well. The idea behind it, there's a number of reasons why. Marsha over here explains one point is that because the pasuk uses the expression tene, which means a basket, so therefore that means that it means the kohen has to take the basket, but only when it's defined as a basket. A golden silver keli is not defined as a basket. The Tosfos Yom Tov gives a different idea because only then is it really a chosh of a gift. After all, a poor person doesn't bring very much bikurim. When you have the basket with it, it becomes more chosh of a gift. There's a sikh actually where the Rebbe analyzes the deeper idea behind it, that the bikurim, you have to bring them in a keli because it represents making a keli for the light of Hashem in the world, and the poor people in a way are able to accomplish that in a greater way, and therefore their keli becomes part of the gift to Hashem as well. Anyway, so Rabbi Bar Mori says, there you have this idea. Amalei, and again, Rava tells him, "At Amrit Mehosam, you're saying based on that Mishnah that I know I'm Mina Mehocha. I can bring you a proof from a pasuk of the idea of Baso Amir Azlan Nius. The pasuk is with Tomei, Tomei Yikra. The one who is Tomei, the Mitzora, has to call out Tomei. So we see not only he himself is a Mitzora, but where that the Torah is telling him he has to announce it to everybody. So therefore, that bears out this idea that poverty follows the poor person." Marsha explains a little bit differently. The fact is, we have, he calls out Tomei in order, the Gemara mentions in other places, that people should daven for Rachman for him. So rather, Marsha says, the vote is that we also learn from this pasuk, from the Tomei Tomei Yikra, the Gemara learns in Moed Cotton, the concept that when you have a caver, which is not well known to the public, you have to mark it with plaster so people know to stay away from it and not become Tomei. So now we're saying not only you have a grave in your area, but you have to spend money on it to you have to spend money and resources on it to get it marked. So that's an example of Boso Anya Azlan Yosa. Okay. Here's another one. Where do we get the expression that the Chachamim say, Hashkim ve'echol b'kayitz mipnei chamo v'chodu f'natzina, always eat early in the morning, wake up in the morning and eat early. B'kayitz mipnei chama, in the summertime, do that because of the danger of getting harmed by the heat of the sun. Or v'chodu f'natzina, and in the winter, so you don't get harmed by the cold of the winter. So you have that expression of the Chachamim, and v'amri inshi, and you have a
pot. Half is cold.
No, but the point is, in other words, this way, you eat breakfast before the cold has a chance to affect you. And v'amri inshi, and you have an expression that people say, the popular expression, a similar vein, where people say, shitin rehuti rohut, 60 runners ran, v'loi motu l'gavra d'mitzakra karach, and they can't catch up with the person who eats breakfast in the morning. So in other words, the popular expression is also saying you have the person who eats breakfast in the morning is stronger than everybody else, and he can outrun everybody else. Tosfos brings over here from Rabbeinu Meshulam, who wanted to say that it means 60 literally, because there are about 60 days in every one of the six seasons of the year. You have the six seasons that I mentioned in Parashas Noach, and so the year can be divided into six seasons of 60 days each. Tosfos says no, we find a lot of times in popular expressions and in things in the Gemara that 60 just means a large number. Anyway, the point is, so where do we get these, where's a source in Torah for these expressions? So the answer is Dichtiv, lo yirovu v'lo yitzmo. The pasuk says they will not be hungry, they will not be thirsty. V'lo yakev shorav v'shemesh, and the heat or the sun will not strike them. So we see, in other words, the pasuk is implying because they won't be hungry and thirsty, because they ate a good breakfast, therefore the heat or the sun won't affect them. Marsha points out, so that you have there the heat. Where do you have the cold of the winter? Because a lot of times during the winter time, when you have a sunny day, it's a cold day. A cloudy day during the winter is often a little bit warmer. So therefore, Shemesh represents the cold that you have on a cold, clear day in the winter. And the pasuk is saying, lo yir ovav, lo yitzmo, and the result is, v'layakim shorav v'shemesh. And again, omalei at amit mehalsam, Rava says to Rabbi Bamori, you're saying based on that pasuk, v'anoam mina mehocha, I can bring you a pasuk from Chumash that expresses this idea. The pasuk says, next week's parasha, you should serve Hashem your God, and that means zukriyishma utvila. That means you serve Hashem by saying kriyishma and davening shmona esrei. Then the pasuk continues, uveirachas lach mochol v'esmeimecha. Hashem will bless your bread and your water, and that means. And that means zupas b'melech b'kitten shamayim. That means the bread and the jug of water that a person drinks. This Gemara is also brought in Rav Metzia. Rashi explains over there. It means normally people would drink wine in those days. Here we mean a person can't afford wine, so he drinks water. Marsha says no. It means actually davka water because it's healthier for a person than wine. Anyway. So then, and then the pasuk continues, I will take away sickness from among you. So we see the same idea, in other words, that eating breakfast, so a person davens, eats breakfast first thing in the morning, then Hashem will take away sickness from him. So you see the same idea that eating a good breakfast helps save a person from the different dangers of heat and cold and other things like that. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara says in that connection, Vatanya, in fact, we learn in a Braisa, when it says Vahasosim Machlo Mikribecha, what do we mean by Machlo specifically? Machlo Zumara. The word Machlo refers to the gallbladder. Why is it called machla? Because there are 83 different sicknesses that can be as a result of the gallbladder not functioning properly. How do we see 83? Machla gematria hochihavu. The word machla is gematria 83. The kulan and all of them, as the pasuk is saying, pass b'melach shachris, the kitten shamayim of bread. Bread with salt in the morning and a jug of water, mevatlan is mevatol them. So you see, in other words, that so the pasuk is telling you that a person might be susceptible to as many as 83 different diseases from not having a good breakfast, and that's the machla zumara. And now we're saying that pas shachris or kitten shamelach mevatlan. So there's a lot of different points about that. First of all, there are places in Chassidus where it talks about that the mora over here doesn't just mean the physical gallbladder, it means the nefesh of Bahamas, which is bitter to a person. And the point is, in other words, you have to counteract it, because otherwise it can cause all kinds of terrible problems to a person. In fact, there's one point, the Rebbe Maharash makes a point in a mimer, that the word machla doesn't just mean a sickness, it also comes from an Aramaic word that means sweet. So you have the Yetzer Hara can attack a person either by showing himself as bitter or by pretending to be sweet talking you. And either way, you have to watch out for it. And we're saying you need to pass shachos and so forth. And the avodah va'avadim es Hashem alekeichem, the avodah of davening and learning helps counteract that. The Rebbe also once pointed out that the 83, you have 83 sections of halachos in the Rambam. So therefore, that's also hinting at the idea that that learning Rambam helps counteract all these ruchniyistika and gashniyistika illnesses, the 83 that a person might be susceptible as a result of the mara. They say a vort also, they say a vort that the word pas is also gematria Talmud. So it hints at the idea that a person ought to be learning pas shachris, represents a person ought to be learning a black gemara in the morning, as we do. And that helps take away the ruchnistic illnesses that we're talking about. Yeah. Okay. With that said, it is true the Gemara does mention davening first. So yeah. Anyway. Okay. Here's another one. Where do we get the expression that people say, "Kavroch kavya chamra"? If your friend calls you a donkey, ukful gaboch mush. Move the saddle from your donkey and put it on yourself. In other words, if somebody is saying that you have a certain bad tendency or whatever, don't argue against him. Admit, don't answer him back. Admit to what he's saying. So it's a popular expression. So Rava is asking, where do we get a pasuk that expresses that idea? Amalei. So Rava Bamori answers him. Dichtiv. You have when Hagar is running away from Sarah. Vayomar, and the Malach says, Hagar Shifcha Sarai, Hagar, maidservant of Sarai. So he calls her maidservant of Sarai, even though she's trying to run away from Sarah. He asks her, Amy Zebos of Onaselechi, where are you coming from and where are you going? Vatomer, and she says, Mipnei Sarai Gvirti Anochi Berachas, I'm running away from Sarai, my mistress. So we see that she's admitting that Sarai is her mistress, even though she's trying to run away from her and become independent. But when the Malach tells her, you are Shifcha Sarai, then she agrees, you know what, it's true. I am Shifcha Sarai, and she's my mistress. And another one, Omale Rob Le Rabba Amari, Menaha Milsa Damri Inchi. Where do we have a source for this that people say, Milsa Gnad Isbach, when there's something derogatory about you, Kodim Amra, you should go ahead and volunteer it first. Don't wait until other people say it, and then you're going to be embarrassed. Omale, so he said, Dichtiv, because we find when Eliezer Eved Avraham comes to Besuel, comes to Besuel's house to get Rivka. So they tell him, speak what you want to say. By Yomar, and the first thing he says, Eved Avraham Anochi, I am Avraham's slave. So he right away, off the bat, admits and states that point, rather than they should have to discover it for themselves. Now, Maharsha points out, in the previous one, we're saying that if somebody tells you the Milsa Gnar, then you should agree to it. Here we're saying you should say it yourself. So what is it? And he explains the difference whether it's true or not. When it's true, you should volunteer it yourself. Like when not just when it's true, when you know that it's true, you know and you have no reason to deny it, go ahead and admit it first. When you have one that you yourself are trying to deny, fine, you don't have to volunteer at first. Hogger is trying to deny, after all, that she is Sarah, that she's Sarah's maidservant because she's running away from her. But when the Malach calls her out on it and says, you are Sarai's maidservant, then she admits. And then, like in the Moshul, she takes the saddle and puts it on her back. So there's a difference whether you yourself are accepting and admitting that it's true or not. So then you should volunteer it. And if not, you don't have to volunteer it. But at least if the other guy tells you it, then you should accept it. Okay, another one. Omale Rav Rabba Bamari. Minoha Milsi Da Amri Inchi. Where's a source in Torah for the expression that people say, Shofel V'ozel Bar Abza, the duck walks along very humbly with his eyes down, but his eyes are looking up around. In other words, even while he has his head down, he's got his eyes are looking around to find like any food or something. So in other words, the point of the expression is, in other words, that sometimes you have a person who's an onav. Nevertheless, the person is an onav. He's very humble. Nevertheless, he shouldn't hesitate to ask for the things that he needs for. So there was a popular expression, but putting that in terms of like when a duck walks around. So where do you have a source in Torah for that? That you should always grab the opportunity whenever you can to ask for whatever it is you need. You have the story with David and Abigail. So the Nabal has insulted David very badly. David is coming with his men planning to kill Nabal and his whole family. Abigail, Nabal's wife, finds out what happened, and she's a big tzaddikus and neviah. She gathers a bunch of food together and goes to meet David, and she talks David out of harming Nabal, and then she says, she's telling David, look, eventually you are going to become king. Hashem will help you defeat all your enemies. You don't now need to go deal with Nabal. Hashem will deal with him. And now, in her speech to David, she says, "V'heitiv Hashem l'Adoni," when Hashem will do good for my master, meaning for you, "V'zacharta samasecha," then you should remember your maidservant, meaning me. So she's hinting to him, in other words, there's going to come a point when you're going to be successful. At that point, I want you to remember me. Remember that I would like to marry you. And enough, sure enough, after Nabal died, then David married her. So we see, in other words, that even though she's being very humble to David, and then...
That was
Nabal's wife, the guy, oh yeah. By the way, there was a medrash that says, actually, right after that, you have the pasuk calls her Avigal instead of Abigail. Because there was something a little bit wrong, a bedakristic wrong. She's, after all, an ish. What is she doing already looking for her next husband while her husband is still alive? But now, so therefore,
she knew that he's
Chayiv Misa and everything, fine. But still, so on her level, it was not the most appropriate thing to say. But nevertheless, we see a source in Torah for this concept that here, even while she's pleading to David and being very humble and falling on her feet in front of him and falling on the ground in front of him and everything, she's still keeping an eye out for the opportunity and telling him, remember me in the future. When it comes time for you to look for another wife.
So how did Nabal die then?
So in the end, Hashem, when Abigail came back and told him what happened, he had a stroke and died a few days later. The Mephoshim discuss, is it because he was so shocked by the fact that he came so close to death that David was about to kill him, or is it the shock that Abigail had taken so much of his food, he was a very stingy guy, and giving it to David? Whatever the case, he was out of the shock, he had a stroke or a heart attack or something like that and died a few days later, yeah. The point is that so we see this expression. In other words, a person should be an honor, but he still should keep an eye out for an opportunity to ask for what he needs. Whether Rashi says we're talking about learning Torah or Parnosa or to ask for the collection of a debt. So we see over here, in other words, that Avigail is grabbing her opportunity when she has it. Here's another one. Omale Rova L'Rabba Bamori. Here's another one. Rova asks Rabba Bamori. Menoha Milsi Da'amri Inchi Shitin Tachle Matye L'Kocha 60 sadnesses, literally tachli is like the word shochel in Lashon Kodesh, which means, Rashi explains, in a few places, shochel means when a person loses their children, Rachmana Litzlan, it's called shochel, but Rashi over here translates, tachli means avelo samachoibus, mourning and pains. So 60 mournings and pains, again, not necessarily meaning 60 literally, but a lot of aches and pains, matye come, lekocha, to the truth, to call chavrei shama v'lay ochel, where he hears somebody else eating and he doesn't eat. So in other words, the popular expression is saying, when you hear somebody else eating and you yourself are not able to eat, it gives you tremendous tzar. So where's a source in Torah for that concept? Amalei. So Rabbi Mamori answers him. Dichtiv the li ani avdecha l'tzadik l'akoyin v'niyov v'niyohu v'niyohyada v'lishloima avdecha l'kara. You have like this. At the beginning of Sefer Melachim, you have the story. You have the story where Adon Yehu is trying to make himself the next king after David. He figures David is old and weak; he can't prevent me, and I'm going to get together my supporters and have myself crowned as king. Nosson Hanavi finds out what's going on, and he comes and reports to David. And Bathsheba comes and he tells Bathsheba, "You go to David. I'll go to David, and we'll explain to David what's going on, and we'll tell him you have to crown Shlomo right away as king, because otherwise Adon Yehu is going to preempt everything." So now, when Nosson is reporting, so now the Psukim describe that Adon Yehu made a big banquet for all of his supporters. So now, when Nosson comes and reports to David, and he tells the whole story, he says that you should know, Adon Yehu made this big party, and he invited this, they invited Yoav, and this, and that, and of Yosser, and so on and so forth. And then Nosson says, but me, I, your servant, and Sadek HaKoyin, the Kohen Gadol, and Benayahu Ben Yehoyada, your trusted advisor, and Shlomo, he did not call, meaning, in other words, that, so in Poshet Pshat, Nosson is saying, you should know, he didn't invite the ones who are supporters of yours, so he realizes he's acting against you, but the point is, when the way Nosson says it, V'li Ani Avdecha, he didn't invite me, like, I'm suffering from the fact, look at this, he's making this big banquet and he didn't even invite me. So there's a source in the Poshet for this idea. The Tosfos Shantz points out a remez in it. The word ani is gematria 61. So therefore, so he has the girsa that it's not 60 sadnesses, but 61 sadnesses come to the person who doesn't get to eat with somebody else. And the remez for it is the fact that Nosson uses this extra word ani in the pasuk. He just said v'li avdech. Anyway, so that's Rabbi Bamari says there's a source in the pasuk for this idea. Again, Omalei at Amit Mehosam, and Rava tells Rabbi Bamori, you're saying it based on that pasuk. Va'ano Amina Mehocha, I can bring it actually based on a pasuk in Chumash. When Yitzchak marries Rivka, Va'yivyeh Yitzchak Oyel Asara Imay, Yitzchak brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah. Va'yikachas Rivka, he married Rivka, Va'tilo the Isha Va'yeh, she became his wife and he loved her. Va'yinochem Yitzchak Achre Imay, and then Yitzchak was comforted over the loss of his mother. And then the very next pasuk, by Yosef Avraham, by Yikachisha, or Shmok Torah, Avraham again went and married a wife named Torah. So in other words, like the idea is now that Yitzchak is married, so Avraham realizes, you know what, I'm suffering from the fact that Yitzchak is married and I'm not, I should do something about it. And he goes and marries Torah. So you see the same idea. In other words, when one person is enjoying something and the other person is not, then it causes him a certain tsar, like in the expression that for the 60 tsaris, and therefore Avraham did something about it. Okay. Another one, Omalei Rav L'Rabbi Amari, Menoha Milsa Da Amri Inshi. Where's the source in Torah for the expression people say, Kamra L'more Tivusa L'Shakye? The wine belongs to its owner. The tivusa goes to the one who serves it, who pours it. So Rashi explains, it means, in other words, you have like this, a balabas is making a suda. He's supplying wine for the guests. Who actually serves it to them? The waiter. Who do the people thank? The waiter. So even though they know the wine is not coming from him, he's only the shliach, nevertheless, people give him the credit for it. So there's a popular expression like that. Where's a source in Torah for that? Tosfos gives a different explanation that it means that even though the wine belongs to the balabas, it's the waiter who gets to decide who gets more and who gets less. Who is he going to give? Ba'ayin toiva, tivusa, meaning in other words, the fact that he decides this one, I like him better, I'm going to give him more, it's left up to him. So where's a source in Torah for that idea? Amalei, so Rabbi Bamori tells him, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe about Yeshua, V'samachtes yodcha olav, you should rest your hand on him and give him smicha, L'man yishmun v'yiron kaladas b'nei Yisrael, so all the Jewish people should hear, it doesn't actually say v'yiron in the Pasuk, whatever, in order that all the Jewish people should hear of what's going on. But later on, it says, V'yashua ben nun molei ruach chochma, ki samach Moshe es yodov olav. It says that Moshe had rested his hands, plural, on him. By Yishmo Elab, Kol B'nei Yisrael, but going around all the Jewish people listened to Moshe. So according to Rashi, the vote is, why is it saying at the end of the Chumash, Ki Samach Moshe as Yadav Olam? It's not because of Moshe's smicha, it's because Hashem gave it to him. But the pasuk is credited it to Moshe the same way as we credit when we get a drink of wine from the waiter, we credit him even though we know it comes from the balabas. The same way the pasuk is speaking, ki samach Moshe es yodav alav, even though really that power comes from Hashem. Tosfos, according to their shitta, learns differently. The vort is, we're saying that the waiter himself gets to decide who he's going to serve more and who less. So we see, even though Hashem tells Moshe, put only one hand on Yoshua, give him only a part of your koyach. Instead, Moshe generously gave samachas yodav, his hands, plural, and put both his hands on Yoshua and gave him everything he had. So we see that. So we see also this expression that Hashem himself can say, give only a certain amount, and so to speak, the waiter, meaning Moshe, gives even more. Marsha explains the idea behind it is that Moshe is asking, to begin with, he's asking for somebody to lead the Jewish people in war primarily. So Hashem is saying to him, fine, appoint Yoshua as your successor. He will lead the Jewish people in war. That will be represented by the hand of Ahoyakasher and Yom Moshe Yodoy. Where we find by war with Amalek, you only have Yodoy, Moshe's one hand. We find by giving the Torah, you have Ushtei Luch Zabris, that the Luch Zabris were in Yodov, his hands in plural. So Hashem is telling him, you just have to give Yeshua the power to lead the Jewish people in war. Instead, Moshe gave him with both hands, representing the power of Torah and the power of leading the Jewish people in war. So that's what we're saying. According to Tosfos, that Moshe gave him even more than Hashem had told him to give. Another one, where's a source in Torah for the popular expression, kalba kafne, when a dog is hungry, gelale mivla, he will even swallow gelale. Now Rashi says, one possibility is that gelale means stones. We had at the beginning of the Masechta, where the word golol meant, among others, it meant marble stones. So it means when a dog is hungry, he'll eat anything, even stones. Rashi says the second possibility is that golol means waste, means dung. But Rashi says dogs do that all the time anyway. There's no reason to say dafka when it's hungry. Anyway, so there's an expression. In other words, the expression means, in other words, that when a person is desperate, he'll take anything. So where's a source in Torah for that? So he says, "Dichtiv, a pasuk in Mishlei, nefesh sveya tovus noifes, the satisfied soul will belittle even the most delicious food. The nefesh re'eva kol ma'amosik, but on the other hand, to a hungry soul, even what's bitter is sweet." So in Parshat Pshat, in other words, Shlomo is saying, you have a person is satisfied, then even you put in front of him a delicacy, he's going to say, no, it's nothing, you know, because he belittles it because he doesn't need it. But then on the other hand, when you have a person who's hungry, even the less appetizing thing becomes delicious to him. So the same way with the dog and then what we're saying over here. Marsha points out, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that dogs don't have very much food because people don't usually have much rachmanis on them. We're not talking about pet dogs. We're talking about the wild dogs that run around in the streets. Therefore, Hashem made that dogs take a long time to digest their food. But therefore, that's why the Gemara is using, so that's why the popular expression, use dogs representing like the really bitterly poor people.
Yeah, but quite a few stomachs, I think.
No, they don't have multiple stomachs. Only kosher animals do. But Hashem makes that their food stays in their stomach for 3 days till they fully digest it. Okay, another one. Where's a source in Torah for the expression that people say, the bad palm tree, which doesn't produce fruit, goes and walks around together with the group of infertile trees that don't produce fruit. In other words, the mashal is saying that a bad palm tree tends to grow near non-fruit-bearing trees. Rashi explains the word shorchi is a word that means a bottle. So like these trees are bottle in the sense they don't produce fruit. Tosfos also discusses how the word shorchi, and there's also a gives a shodchi, whatever. It means people who are, maybe shodchi can be maloshin shidduch, like quiet and calm. So in this case, these are trees that are calm and are not producing fruit. The point is, in other words, the mashal, the popular expression means that bad people tend to associate with other bad people. So where's a source in Torah for that? Omalei. So Rabbi Amori says, here we have not just one source in Torah for that, we have a lot of them. Dov is a kosuba Torah. You can find it in Chumash, Shanui b'Neviim, it's repeated again in Neviim, Umasholash b'Ksuvim, and it's repeated a third time in Ksuvim, Utnan b'Masnissin, and we have a Mishnah that expresses this idea, V'tanya b'Brai, V'taneda b'Braisa, and we have a Braisa that teaches us this point. So you have many different sources in Torah for this idea that the bad tend to stick together with the bad. Let's go through them. We find that Esav goes, when Esav needs another wife, who does he go to Yishmael? So one Russia is going to another Russia. Maushah points out that this fits with the Moshal as well. Esav is like a palm tree. A palm tree comes from good stock. It should be able to produce fruit. Esav comes from the best possible stock. He's the son of Yitzchak and Rivka. He's the twin brother of Yaakov, but he went the wrong way. Where does he go to the trees that Bechlal are not capable of producing fruit, like Yishmael, who doesn't come from such good stock because his mother, after all, was Hagar. So therefore, that expresses this idea that the one Rosh tends to go and hang out with the other. Next, Shonri b'Neviim. Where do we see this in Neviim? Dichtiv, yeah, by Yiftach. The Pesukim describe how Yiftach had to run away from home, and then the Pesukim says, "Vayislak to Yiftach Anoshim Reikim by Yiyu Imoy." The empty people gathered together with Yiftach, and they were together with him, and they formed like a war band over there. So we see, in other words, like goes with like, because Yiftach himself was a person who was empty of Torah, or at least didn't have as much knowledge of Torah as we should have, as he should have. We see later on in the story when his daughter came out of the house, and he said, "I have to bring you as a korban, or I have to make you be a hermit forever, whatever." He should have known that he can be Matur Nedu. He should have known even that his Nedu is not Chal in the first place, etc. So he didn't know such things. So therefore, these empty people gathered together with him. We see that light goes together with light. We have this point repeated a third time in Ksuvim. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk, Kol oif l'mino yishkan, every bird lives with its own kind, uvnei odim l'doim aloi, and people similarly stay with the ones who are similar to them. Now, this is not actually a pasuk in Ksuvim, Tosfos points out. Tosfos says maybe, and eventually when they discovered it, they found that, yes, it is, from Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira is a sefer that was written early in the period of the second Beis Hamikdash. The author, Ben Sira, was a grandson of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So he wrote a sefer. Parts of it are very much in the style of Sefer Mishlei. The Gemara discusses it in various places. There are places actually where the Gemara says you shouldn't learn it. There are negative things in there, and a person who learns it doesn't have a place in Olam Haba. On the other hand, the Gemara says there are positive things in it that you can learn. And one of them, here we see the Gemara brings it as if it was a pasuk from Ksuvim, even though it's not actually part of Tanakh. So it's a hybrid kind of. In a way, it's got a certain degree of kedusha to it, but on the other hand, it's not part of Tanakh, and the Gemara cautions against thinking that it is. But here, the Gemara is quoting it from Ksuvim as though it was actually from Tanakh. Then the Tnan Masnissin, where do we have a Mishnah that expresses this idea? No, a Mishnah says Halacha. When you have, sometimes you have, for example, let's say a hook. When you have, for example, a hook or a nail that you hang things on that's made out of metal, so it depends. Is it makabel tumah or not? If it's attached to a peli that's makabel tumah, then it itself is makabel tumah as well. For example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say you have a wooden menorah, a wooden platform, let's say, to put a lamp on. Such a thing is not makabel tumah because it's pshute clay, it's a flat wooden keli, so it's not makabel tumah. So if you now attach a hook to it, the hook is not makabel tumah either. On the other hand, let's say if you have a table or a chair or whatever, which are makabel tumah, and you attach a hook to them, then the hook will be makabel tumah. So we see that light goes with light. When you have something that's makabel tumah and something goes along with it, then it's also makabel tumah, and vice versa. So that also bears out this expression that light goes with light. Like you have the expression in English, birds of a feather flock together, which is actually very much like this expression from Ben Sira about Kol Oif L'Mino Yishkan. And the Tanena B'Braisa, and we learn a Braisa that says the same idea. Rebbe Eliezer, now you have the Gemara in Chulin discusses, you have the what kinds of birds are and aren't kosher, and you have a type of bird called a zarzir, which in English it's called a starling. Is it kosher or not? Now you have the Pasuk mentions that the Pasuk mentions that you have an Orev, a crow or a raven, it's called Orev Lamino. The Pasuk says all kinds of crows and ravens are osir. Is this considered part of the family? So Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, You know why? The Zarzu always hangs out with the Oyrev. Whenever you find starlings, you're always going to find them together with Oyrev, because it's actually the same species. And therefore, yes, if an Oyrev is Treif, so is a Zarzu. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer is expressing the idea that light goes together with light. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and continue with more of these popular expressions and sources for them in Torah, because ultimately the point of this Gemara is everything has a source in Torah.